Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A lot of audience, so.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Call or text John now at 404-741-0929. Live from the Kia Studios, it's John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You see they had the NWO reunion over the weekend, Bo?
I did see that,
actually. Too sweet, baby. Too sweet, baby. I'm all jacked up for this NWO event coming up.
Let's get rid of the glasses, though. Come on, man. You're like 70, Hulk. Come on.
No, it's Hollywood, baby. I go to Hollywood.
It's not those.
He does look a lot different, doesn't he? I mean, I know he's old, but it's funny to see Hulk Hogan now. So, we welcome you into the Kia Studios. Of course, we broadcast from Nakatomi Towers around here because you have to rappel down the side of the building to get in. But welcome into the Kia Studios on a Sunday morning. It is John Chuckery here with you, hanging out with you till 1 o'clock. Today, lots of stuff to get into. Don't forget, as always, we are streaming online. Go to 929thegame.com. That way you can listen to replays of this show and all the shows on the station. We also can get all of your updated sports news and information on our new and improved website. Download your radio.com app. That way you can listen to us live, local, anywhere, anytime, any device that you've got out there. If you're on the go, maybe hanging out, taking a walk today. Listen to us as you're kind of strolling around. All of our social media, you can check us out, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. It's all at 929TheGame. You can follow me on Twitter at JMCH316. Special treat, Bo Johnson in the house today. So you don't have to wake up as early this morning, huh?
That was fantastic. I was kind of confused as to what to do when I got off work last night. Usually I have to hurry home to get 3 hours of sleep. Last night I was like, do I really want to get 6 hours of sleep or should I stay up till like 3 a.m. and get my same 3 hours?
Yeah, so it was kind of strange. You got here at 8:55 this morning. So, I mean, it was, you know, oh, no, that's all right. I'm
roll out of bed and come to work. That's kind of how your show works, right?
That's usually how the producers do it around here, you know, if they're not getting stuck in traffic or a cancer walk or something, you know, to slow them all down. So, as we said, with you here till 1 o'clock today. Trying to effort Mike Conte to talk a little Atlanta United, as believe it or not, the regular season is wrapping itself up at 4:30 this afternoon. We will have Toronto FC and Atlanta United. Of course, United needs to win to make sure that they wrap up the supporter shield. Certainly a team in Toronto, and it's weird. How do you go from being the best team in the history of MLS to not even making the playoffs? Now, I know a lot of people talked about the CONCACAF championship, that they used a lot of their – they saved a lot of their guys for that versus they put a lot of effort into some of their early MLS schedule. But it is kind of strange that you go from being the best team, considered the best team in the history of MLS, to not even making the playoffs. So – they have to win today, and what's kind of scary is because the New York Red Bulls have Orlando, who's just dreadful. They're a dreadful team, and they've had like three managers already this year and just not much going on there. So hopefully we'll get a chance to talk with Mike Conte, as Atlanta United and Toronto FC. Kickoff is at 4:30, pregame right here on Sports Radio 929, the game at 4 o'clock. Of course, no Falcons today. Falcons on their bye week. Obviously, the really good win on Monday night. And we had been talking a lot, you know, as I've had a chance to be on middays and you know, just here and there and kind of everywhere, Rob and I last week. You know, it was a two-game playoff for the Falcons. Home with Tampa Bay, home Monday night with the Giants. Needed to go 2-0, protect home field advantage, division win, conference wins. Get 2-0 in those games. Get to 3-4 going into the bye week. Let's get healthy. The Falcons did just that. And now you kind of got another kind of mini two-game playoff, if you will. And you have to think about it in small little chunks because now, if you will, I understand that there's still nine games, so it's not technically the midway point. But now the second half of the season, because you've just had your bye week, You've got 6 of the 9 games on the road. 6 of your last 9 are on the road, including no divisional games at home from here on out. So no divisional games at home, 6 of 9 on the road. It starts at Washington next week. So that is still must win. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Falcons a little bit later on and what it would mean to get back into that. Of course, the other big story, the world's – and by the way, our show, we always say things like the Red River Shootout, the world's largest cocktail party. We don't do the politically correct stuff on our show. College football show, my show, we don't do that. It is the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, and we're not afraid to call it that. It's not a Festivus. It's not a hangout. It's not a cookout. It's not a barbecue. It's the world's largest cocktail party. As Georgia, of course, really took care of business yesterday. And I will say, on our college football game time show, we do our picks. I did pick Florida in the game. And I just thought this was a good opportunity for Florida to maybe pick Georgia off. But you obviously saw the Dogs came out, got the lead early. Now, Florida kind of helped them out with the turnovers, right? I mean, certainly Florida made life a little bit easier. Certainly plenty of crazy moments in that game. Obviously, Jake Fromm back, from what was a obviously disappointing week against LSU. And I think we're going to look back on that now because we're going to talk about the quarterbacks in the next segment. But you have to take that moment in time for what it is. And everybody's screaming all week about, why is Justin Fields not playing? He should be starting, blah, 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 blah. All the nonsense that went along with it. What gets lost in all that people just don't want to talk about, that's one of the best defenses in the nation. And if you have the 11 best guys on defense in college football, at least 2 guys from LSU are on that 11. Because 40 and 29 go on that list. And what's the kid's name? Delpit. I mean, he leads the nation in interceptions as well. Delpit. So it ain't like they ain't got guys that you're going to see on. So those guys that you see on LSU are guys that you're going to see on Sundays. They're not just ham and eggers out there. Quarterbacks don't play. Because you saw Nick Fitzgerald last week, and you saw Nick Fitzgerald last night. If you didn't see Nick Fitzgerald last night, he was hucking it all over the place. He'd come in, he'd had 3 straight games under 100 yards passing. He's chucking it around against Texas A&M, who is also one of the best defenses in the country, like number 1 versus the rush and number 4 overall total defense. Man, he's out there hucking it around last night. So at times you have to give credit to the other guys and not just our quarterback played bad. And by the way, Florida's a real good defensive team, and they're a terrific pass defensive team. And they've got a lot of guys that are going to play on Sunday, and their secondary is getting a lot better. And Fromm was terrific. Georgia, 4 touchdowns, all of them on 3rd down. Let's hear from Kirby Smart as Kirby, after the game, talking about thanking all the fans that made their way down to Jacksonville.
First of all, the environment in this game was probably the best of the 3 years that I've coached in it. It was, thank our fans, because they stood behind us. And a lot of passion and energy in those stands. And those fans follow us everywhere, and I appreciate what they do.
Now, it was crazy I forget what part of the game. I want to say it was in the fourth quarter when Georgia literally has the ball at the 1-foot line. And through a series of plays missed, and then you get a pass interference penalty on 3rd down, and you get 3 more cracks of the end zone from like a foot, and they could not punch it in. Now, it didn't come back to haunt and bite Georgia on it, but it was a strange sequence, and people were talking about should they have gone for it on 4th down, especially when you only needed like a foot. Here's Kirby Smart talking about not going for it on 4th down and trusting his defense.
Well, I felt like we were playing good in the second half outside of the first drive, and you want to keep momentum going there and play field position battle, and to be honest, I wanted Jake to get some rhythm. I mean, he hasn't got it. I'm talking about Camardo getting a chance to knock those balls down inside the 5 like Cam did. And Miko made a hell of a play and a hell of a kick to pin it back there and end up paying off for us, because I think we got a turnover off that one.
Yeah, it's he had a strange series of plays that just could not get it in the end zone. But look, like I said, it didn't come back to haunt Georgia. They win 36-17. We're going to talk a little bit about the quarterback debate coming up in the next segment. They held Florida to 275 total yards in the game. Florida actually ran it pretty well, 170 yards, and they had gotten off early in the running game, and really as the game went on, couldn't get a whole lot going out there. We talked about on a College Football Game Time show yesterday, Florida's a very penalized team. They had seven penalties in the game, strangely for only 27 yards, but seven penalties in the game, and like I said, one of them was the pass interference call. Of course, some of those penalties, they had like two or three penalties in that game where literally there was only like a yard and a half because it was a half the distance to the goal line. Like one of them was Dan Mullen got a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, and it moved the ball a yard and a half. And they had like back-to-back penalties like that that just barely even moved the ball. So don't be misled by the yards because they were automatic first down penalties that Florida had gotten. And part of it was just when they were down so close, there literally was nowhere to move the football. But 429 total yards of offense for the Bulldogs, 189 yards rushing, 4.6 yards a carry. And actually, that was the same as Florida. Like I said, Florida actually ran the ball pretty well, especially early in that game. Swift looked really good, 104 yards on 12 carries for him. Holyfield got the bulk of the carries. He got 20 carries versus 12 for Swift, 71 yards. He was just kind of stymied. Had the one big 14-yard run for Georgia, but was kind of stymied. Didn't get in the end zone. Swift did have the one rushing touchdown, and Fromm ran it six times. Cook and Miko Hardman each with a rushing attempt as well. So really good win, and now everything sets up for Georgia in front of them, where huge game against Kentucky that I guess pretty much decides the East at this point. So we'll obviously get into all of that as the week moves along. Very quickly, too, the Red Sox do take a 3-1 series lead in the World Series. I had Red Sox in six. It may be over in five, but Red Sox is the better team. I mean, give the Dodgers credit. Red Sox are a better team. And I do want to talk about the Braves because, you know, when you talk about the Red Sox and Dodgers, these are the two best teams that money can buy. Right? Now, what's unfair, though, is the idea that they don't have their own prospects. Okay? The Red Sox are built around Betts and Benintendi and Bradley. Those guys came up through the Red Sox farm system. Those aren't guys that they picked up in trades. Same thing with the Dodgers, with Bellinger and Puig and Kershaw, obviously. Those guys came up through the minor league system. So, yeah, while they do go out and spend big-time money and they can get the free agents and stuff, the Craig Kimbrels, the Matt Kemps, whoever you want to talk about, the core of those teams is built around guys that they brought up through their system. That's what they're made of. It's not like they're being led by all kinds of free agents that they brought in to help them. Yeah, I understand. Chris Sale, I get that. There are key components. But Betts, Benintendi, Brad, those guys all came up through the Red Sox farm system. So I do want to kind of tie that into the Braves a little bit. And the Hawks do lose. We're going to talk some Hawks a little bit later on. 97-85. Not a good night for Trae Young. 3 of 12 from the field. 0 for 6 from 3. 13 points, 4 assists. And you're going to get those kinds of nights. All right, when we get back, we're going to put to bed the Fromm Fields debate. We'll even hear from Kirby, who commented about this after the game as well. John Chuck, we're hanging out in the Key Studios. Sunday morning with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Monday morning till 1 o'clock, 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to interact and be a part of the show today, you can reach out to us. So we're talking about, in the first segment, the University of Georgia and, of course, the world's largest outdoor. The storyline had become, because with the bye week, coming off the loss to LSU in a game where Jake Fromm just – truthfully, didn't play well. 16 for 34, 209 yards, 6.1 yards an attempt, but the one touchdown and two interceptions to go along with them. And it made it easy, especially when there wasn't a game being played and you had the bye week, about all of the talk about, well, why is Justin Fields not playing more? And maybe it's time to turn over things to Justin Fields and let him start. Well, the head coach of the program, Kirby Smart, doesn't quite agree with that fan sentiment. In fact, to the point where actually Fields didn't even play yesterday in that game. I want you to hear a quick clip from Kirby Smart as he talks about that very thing about Justin Fields not playing.
The decisions that we make for our team at all positions should be based on what happens at practice, what happens in games, and how the flow of the game's going. But the outside noise probably affects the players a lot more than it affects me, because I have to make decisions based on what affects our organization the right way. And Jake Fromm is a high-character kid that works his tail off every day, and I'm sure he felt and heard the noise, and Jake Fromm continues to work and get better. Justin Fields continues to work and get better, too. For the last 2 weeks, that kid got a lot of reps, and he got better. And I'm disappointed he didn't get an opportunity to play, and I'm sure he's disappointed, too. But he is a competitor, and he continues to get better. We have a situation where we have two what I think are really good quarterbacks.
Now, what you have to take from all of this is none of this is a knock against Justin Fields and his ability or his upside or any of those kinds of things. But Kirby's right. I mean, Justin Fields, if he doesn't think gives him the best opportunity to win, this is not a rebuild year for Georgia. And I understand what they lost last year and coming off that season and the expectation, and maybe it's not fair to think. But Kirby doesn't think like that. And Nick Saban doesn't think those kinds of ways. These guys don't think like that. They don't think in the idea of, well, we're rebuilding or this is an off year. No, you go for it every year. When you get to that kind of level, you go for it every single year. And as the guy who watches practice and is there and coaches everybody up, he's putting in the guy he thinks that gives him the best chance to win. A guy who has been through all the battles. A guy who took that team to the national title game and within a couple of plays of winning the national title. You know, Jake Fromm is not a true freshman. Justin Fields is. He hasn't been put in that position. And there's no reason to rush Justin Fields into that position if Kirby doesn't think that he's ready. But to think that because you play one bad game means that it's time to make a change. You know, this isn't Georgia Tech, who did make a quarterback change the other night. This isn't a fledgling program that you look at and say, well, you know, there's no upside to playing Taquan Marshall. Might as well put Tobias Oliver in there and see what we got. No, Georgia's in it to win it right now. They're in the national championship business even this year. Do things have to go right? Of course. They've already got their loss. Yeah. One more loss and they take themselves out of that picture. But they're in it and they're trying to win it. And the fact is that Jake Fromm is the better option right now. And you're seeing that from the coaching staff. I promise you, if Kirby Smart didn't think the best option, because everybody talks about Tua and Jalen Hurts. There's no question that Tua is the better option than what Jalen Hurts would give them. Tua really makes them a whole nother dimension. But obviously Kirby Smart doesn't feel that way. And maybe in another year or so we have that discussion. Because I frankly believe that you will not get two more years together of Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. One of those guys will go. Why? Because it's 2018, man. Jacob Eason was the number one high school college. It's the way it works in college football today. And I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I like free agency in college football. I really do. If the coaches can do it, why can't the kids do it? I'm all for the kids and people. Oh, their commitment. Stop. Just don't bring that nonsense. I can't even listen to all that. But there's no debate. I mean, I hope everybody understands that any thought or debate about who the starting quarterback should be for this season is in the books. Now, when we get to February of next year, then I think there can be a debate about which direction do you go now. And it may be a situation where one of these guys is not a Georgia Bulldog next year. You worry about that. You worry about that part of your life when it gets to be that part of your life. But Georgia is still in national title contention. Obviously, the win yesterday vaults them forward. Now you got Kentucky coming up. Huge game against Kentucky, who I don't think they'll get into the top 10, but they might. They're 12th. They might sneak their way into the top 10. Very possible. If they do, okay, here's a top 10 matchup for the Bulldogs. And that will be a good win. I mean, for resume building and things like that, that'll be a good win. And I would imagine Georgia in the first poll coming out on Tuesday, Georgia's probably 5th or 6th They won't be in the top four because they won't be over LSU, Clemson, Bama, and Notre Dame. They won't be over those teams. I get that. They shouldn't be over those teams. But Georgia won't be lower than fifth or sixth. Maybe fifth, maybe sixth. I mean, I think them and Michigan will flip-flop between 1-5, 1-6. I think that's the next two teams that get in after the playoff. So Georgia's right there knocking on the doorstep. And a win against Kentucky will help. You know, at least it's the brand name of Auburn. And then you got one layup game. Who the hell they play? Is it who the hell's Georgia play that week? It's a total scrub game before they get to Tech. UMass, and then Georgia Tech from there. And then SEC title game. Win, beat Auburn, beat Kentucky, get in the SEC title game, and then let the chips go where they go. And if that's Alabama that you play, that's Alabama. If that's LSU you play, that's LSU. By the way, Alabama's going to hammer LSU next week. Sorry, Bo. Yeah, sorry, Bo. I know Bo's an LSU guy, but
it's going to be a competitive game.
Yeah.
I don't know about hammer him.
For the first quarter, it will be. Yeah, it'll be a two-touchdown game. It'll be a two-touchdown game. That Alabama team is, I mean, I know how good LSU's defense is. That Alabama offense is at a whole nother level right now. I mean, to penalize Tua for not playing in the fourth quarter is the reason to not give him the Heisman Trophy is the dumbest thing I've heard all year. That's the dumbest storyline I've heard all year. Hey, I hadn't played in the fourth quarter. Yeah, because he goes 10 for 11 for 344 yards and a half of football with four touchdowns. And there's a reason why he's got 32 incompletions and 25 touchdowns. I mean, okay. But anyway, but the idea that Justin Fields, should he have an increased role? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not. I mean, Georgia is, what, 7-1 at this point? First in the SEC East? I don't think that the game plan has worked against Georgia. And I don't think anybody's confusing Jake Fromm with being the Heisman Trophy quarterback. But you take away the game against LSU, he's been one of the most underrated players in college football. He's actually had a terrific season. I mean, you have to give the guy his due. It's not as though Jake Fromm has been battle year or he's just kind of a game manager. He helps you win games at this point. He is a guy at this point that is helping you to win games out there. He's not just kind of writing the ship and just kind of hanging in there. 67% completion percentage, 13 touchdowns to 4 picks. Two of those came a couple of weeks ago out there. I mean, Jake Fromm is not the issue for this team. But you don't just sacrifice this year because you want to say that I want to see Justin Fields get playing time. That's not the business that Georgia's in. It's not the business that Alabama's in. Alabama didn't make that decision to put Tua in versus Jalen Hurts just on a whim. You don't just make those kinds of decisions. Yeah, it worked out for Alabama. I get that. But notice, though, too, they didn't make that decision last year, though. Right? They could have started Tua. Everybody knew Tua's potential. It wasn't like Tua wasn't highly recruited. Wasn't like he wasn't thought of as possibly the better of the two quarterbacks or people that were talking about that all year long. But Nick Saban's in the business of winning a national title. And he's got a quarterback who's won him games, even through his flaws and things like that. And when he had to make the change for what was best for his team in the second half against Georgia, that's what he did. Let's grab one quick call before we get to break. Danny in North Atlanta. What's going on, Danny?
What's going on, John?
Hey, buddy.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right that Tom is the number one quarterback, has been all year, has started every game, and should be. The guy almost took it to the, you know, won the national championship. But Kirby Smart, every week at his press conference, says this: there is no plan at quarterback. There's competition every week. We're going to play the best. He will not say, why not just say Jake Fromm's that my number one guy? And I'll tell you why. Because when he recruited Fields, I think he made promises to him. You can't be, we won't redshirt you. We will play you. You will get to compete some. And I think he's telling the Fields kid what he wanted to hear. And in conclusion, you're right. Fields is going to probably transfer out. So what did he gain? What did he gain? But that's my problem with Coach Smart is he won't just say that Fromm's the number one guy.
Well, why should he? Danny, the guy in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, spent the entire summer doing the exact same thing when everybody knew who the guy was going to be. There was, to me, I don't think anybody realistically thought that Jalen Hurts was going to start over Tua, but you
correct.
Never at one time heard from Nick Saban. Even on game day, Nick Saban didn't make an announcement that this is our starter. A couple of years ago, Urban Meyer did the exact same thing when he had three guys. When he had Braxton Miller, Cardale Jones, and he had JT Barrett, he didn't make the announcement. He didn't make the announcement between those guys about who their starter was. You didn't find out who Ohio State's starting quarterback was until that guy took the field. The guy had they had to have the offense go on the field, and that's when. So these coaches, Danny, they have to play it that way. You saw Nebraska make an announcement with it saying that we're going to start a true freshman quarterback. Their only other scholarship quarterback that same afternoon transferred out of the program.
And the problem with that is Saban's in that position with all that depth in his program. Kirby doesn't have that level of depth, and you're telling the players what they want to hear. You're letting the players run your program. Should have passed them.
But Danny, he's the ambassador. Thanks for the phone call. He's the ambassador of Georgia football. He has to do what's best for Georgia football. With all due respect to Jake Fromm and Justin Fields, he's paid to do what's best for Georgia football. That's what he's doing. All right, when we get back, I'm going to talk to our buddy Mike Conte. Mike Conte. As well, we get ready for Atlanta United today, taking on Toronto FC. Follow Max Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Sports Radio, 929 The Game. John Chuckery back in the Kia studios. Always a music theme on the show. We will get to that right before the top of the hour. But it is match day, final match of the regular season for Atlanta United as they are up in Toronto. 4:30 is the kickoff. 4 o'clock is the pregame, which you will hear right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. And the man who runs all of the broadcasting for Atlanta United joins us. He is Mike Conte, who you can follow on Twitter at MikeConte929, or as he's known in underground circles around here, Mike Conte. Mike, my friend, appreciate it. How are things up in Toronto this morning?
Well, the 15 minutes I've been here have been super, so things are great. I'm joking. It's going to be cold, but it's not going to be awful. Mid-40s, snow has stopped, not windy. It's cloudy, but not rainy. So I know a lot of people were concerned about the conditions for this match. Really doesn't look that bad.
Mike, we were talking at the start of the show that last year Toronto FC is considered the greatest team in the history of MLS with winning the championship and the most points and everything. And then, you know, I've heard different things about what went on this year where they're not even going to be a playoff team, that they spent a lot of time focused on the CONCACAF championship instead of really focused on the MLS schedule. What kind of separate fact from fiction about what's gone wrong for Toronto this year?
Injuries. I mean, it's really all injuries. If you look at Altidore missing a significant part of the season, Jovinko has been hurt. Vasquez is hurt, not playing today. Bradley's been in and out. I mean, they've just had a real run of bad luck with injuries. I think kind of similar to what the Falcons are dealing with right now, where, you know, there's only so much loss that you can absorb. And you know, for Toronto FC, it's been to all their key guys, really. And then, yeah, I mean, the CONCACAF Champions League, I think it's part of that, too, because when you have an already injured club and you're shorthanded to begin with, you're playing first-choice lineups midweek down in Guadalajara or wherever, you know, where you're playing a CONCACAF Champions League match, and then you have to go, you know, fly to Montreal or fly to Minnesota or fly to Chicago or something like that, play a second-choice lineup in an MLS match, that's really, really tough. So I think the injuries and the misfortune of being thrown into some really tough travel in CONCACAF Champions League probably goes hand-in-hand. There's probably some lessons that Atlanta United can learn from that because they're going into CONCACAF Champions League next year. Thing is, though, John, this is Toronto FC's Super Bowl today, and I realize that Altidore and Vasquez aren't playing, but Jovinko is. Bradley is, Bono is. I mean, these are guys who have given Atlanta United a lot of problems over the last 2 years. So there will be absolutely nothing easy about going into their stadium this afternoon and winning the supporters' shield.
I'm just curious about one thing, too. Every match today starts at the exact same time. Is that, I know it's the last day for regular season, but is that to kind of ensure that maybe a good team doesn't kind of set everybody down? I mean, obviously,
yes,
Atlanta United's got to win, but I'm assuming that that's what the thinking, the mentality is, right?
That's exactly right. It's to prevent shenanigans. So if say, if they weren't all playing.
Isn't that what you do in the afternoons, Mike? Mike, isn't that your daily afternoon grind?
Don't even get me started there. no, I mean, like, for example, if Atlanta United were to play at 1 o'clock this afternoon and beat Toronto, well, then Red Bulls would have nothing to play for at 4 o'clock, and they could rest everyone against Orlando City. So, I mean, it's a good move by the league. They want all of its clubs playing first-choice lineups on the final day. It creates a lot of drama. It's something that has been extremely popular over in Great Britain with the Premier League. They do it the same way on the final day of their season. The only difference there is it's not for number one seed in the postseason. It's for who wins the league. You know, MLS is unique in that they have a playoff. But there's a lot of drama today. I mean, it's not just with the Supporters Shield. Columbus needs to win to get in the playoff. All the seeds are up for grabs in the East right now. No one knows who they're playing yet on Wednesday. In the West, LA Galaxy can get in. Real Salt Lake needs LA Galaxy to lose, and they don't play today. So it creates a lot of drama, but I think more than anything else, it ensures that you know, a team is not going to be resting or playing for a draw or a loss to help someone else.
Play-by-play voice of Atlanta United, Mike Conte, joining us on the waitfor.com hotline. Pre-game at 4 o'clock today here on 92.9 The Game, 4:30 kickoff up in Toronto, final regular season match of the year. All right, here's my jabroni hot take. I got to do it. I know Joseph is in kind of the, what's the term? He's in kind of his biggest scoring rut of his very short MLS career. And I guess, Mike, I would like to see them really try to figure out how to get him involved today and get him off a little bit. I know he's had some success this year against Toronto, didn't play last year with the injury, but I'd like to see him get off today, and maybe for two reasons. One is, obviously, we need the win, and you'd like to get him going. And two is, I mean, let's face it, he is in his biggest scoring rut for his career and getting him ready to get in the playoffs. I would like to see them figure out a way to really – push the envelope a little bit and try to get him loose and let him get scoring.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that's a jabroni hot take. I think that's very fair. Now, here's the thing. There have been some matches recently in which Joseph has not scored. Like Real Salt Lake and Red Bulls stand out. Because he just wasn't getting any service. Okay, that's on his teammates. If you look at the Chicago match, he was getting service. He had two point-blank opportunities on the keeper that were saved. You know, Joseph, more often than not, is going to score on opportunities like that. So it's partially tip your cap to the keeper, partially a little bit of bad luck. The soccer gods are going to even that out. If it doesn't happen today, hopefully it'll happen in the postseason. But I agree. I mean, I think from a confidence standpoint, Joseph certainly does not lack confidence. But the one thing that I have been told by guys on the team is that, you know, culturally, some players tend to press when things are not going their way a little bit more than others. Joseph might be one of those players who tends to press a little bit more when things are not going his way. So it would be nice for him to kind of get that monkey off his back, finish the season with 31 or 32 goals. I think the other thing in play, John, as silly as this sounds, MVP is now not assured for Joseph Martinez.
Hmm.
If LA Galaxy win today, Zlatan Ibrahimovic is going to get a lot of votes for league MVP. And it's a little bit unfortunate because Joseph broke this record of 28 goals. He did it back in August. He's almost being punished for breaking the record so quickly within the season. And his name has kind of faded from the MVP talk. Zlatan's name has kind of popped up the ladder a little bit. So, you know, if that's something that you care about, you want to be the league MVP, I think you have to score today. So I'm with you, John. That's very, very important.
All right, Mike, final thing. I got about a minute left. I'm trying to figure out why this game is going to be 3:45 up in the Big House next Saturday. And y'all got anything for those guys up there?
No. I mean, Coach Hot Sauce will probably find another way to blow it in the fourth quarter, as he's done 13 times in his career.
Is your goal to just try to get Trace McSorley killed? Is that what the goal of Penn State is try to see if they can just break him in half?
I cannot believe they put him back out there in the second half yesterday against Iowa. That made me very uncomfortable. But hey, I mean, here's the funny thing, John. Penn State wins that game. They are not out of it to win the Big Ten.
No,
if
absolutely.
They win that game.
Right.
And you know, it would kill the conference because then basically your playoff hopes would be on Ohio State and they have that ugly looking loss to Purdue.
Yeah, you and I still disagree, and we got to bet. I don't think Ohio State, as much cachet as Ohio State has, I just don't think a 3-touchdown loss on the road to, you know, an okay Purdue team. But, I mean, you saw what happened yesterday to Purdue. I mean, they are what they are. They're right. Just not going to get any benefit. And especially, I'm telling you, Oklahoma runs the table, and the way Kyler Murray's playing and everything, they're just, I think they will get the benefit of the doubt. And they'll have a chance to either beat Texas West Virginia or somebody like that again.
Yeah.
So I think the cachet will, because the Big Ten West, PU, I don't care. I know Northwestern's been playing but PU.
I mean, Northwestern is in the driver's seat of the Big Ten West right now, I agree. But real quick, John, I know we're out of time. Oklahoma so far has not beaten anyone yet. You're right, they could beat West Virginia and Texas to win the Big 12 championship. Then they would only have a split against Texas. Put that resume next to a one-loss Ohio State, I'm not sure it stacks up favorably.
Yeah, I just think Ohio State will get penalized in some ways the way they did last year. But, Mike, have a good call up there in Toronto. Bring us home a win.
I'll do my best. Good talking to you, John.
Mike Conney. Thank you, Mike. There he is, the play-by-play voice of Atlanta United. Mike Conney, as he's known in the underground circles. So our thanks to him. When we get back, of course, we always have a music theme of the day, so we will get to all of that next as we're indoctrinating Bo Johnson into how we do crazy things around this show. All next, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.